Have you and a friend ever planned a mundane activity, yet experienced something so terrifying together? Would you tell anyone, or be afraid that no one would believe you? What happened in Mississippi in 1973? Today, we test the believability of the Pascagoula abduction.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual.
Tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. Hope everyone is having a great week. I hope the start was good. I hope Monday didn't suck, because you know sometimes Monday sucks. But you know what time it is? It's alien time. We are
Oh my God, it's my favorite. It's my favorite time.
Yes, I am excited. We just did some Edgar Allan Poe. We did your little history. Now we're back on the spooks with the aliens. And this is a big time case.
Yes, this is a huge one. I love this one.
It's a big one. So you know it.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't know all the details.
That could be it.
Maybe you could pretend like you don't. So I'm excited to get into this one. Did you have a good week? You don't know.
I don't know. We are recording this ahead of schedule.
Yeah, I'm going to be... Well, last week I was on vacation. Yes. So... this is pre-recorded, so if the world ended or if like some major catastrophe happened and we're not talking about it, that's why. Hopefully not.
I want to ask you a question really quick.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What's up?
When was the last time we did an alien episode?
Do you care enough that you want me to look it up?
Mm.
Yeah, I am.
Hold on. Okay, yeah, I do. I do anyway, so it's fine.
So the last explicit one was the Kelly Hopkinsville, but we talked about Nibiru,
yeah,
which kind of touches on aliens.
We danced around aliens and for a while.
The Black Knight satellite, which, I mean, we talked about aliens. We talked about the different grays and the different type of aliens. We
talked about alien theory.
Yeah, well, okay, it wasn't, we haven't talked, well, actually, Kelly's Hopkinsville wasn't abduction either.
That wasn't an abduction, but that was...
clearly alien.
That was a war. That was different.
War. That's true. This one is less of a war, more of an abduction.
All right.
You ready to jump in?
Absolutely.
Let's go to the 70s. So, this story takes place in Mississippi.
M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I.
Yeah. I do the same thing. It involves two dock workers, Charlie Hickson and Calvin Parker Jr.
Man, Bon Jovi is just blaring through my head.
They were late 70s, but they're more of an 80s band, just as a...
Bon Jovi?
Yeah.
Okay.
More, I didn't know that. They exist in the 70s, but they're more of an 80s band, definitely a hair band.
Okay.
So they met in 1964, which is a little funny, because Calvin was actually really, really young at the time. Like, he was closer friends with Charlie's son, Eddie. But as they got older, Eddie went off to the Marines, so they still stayed in contact, and they were pretty close. Charlie found a job and moved to Pascagoula, where this episode takes place, but they still stayed in contact, and every time Charlie was around Calvin's family, they hung out or whatever, and whenever Calvin found himself in Pascagoula, they would hang out and get beers and talk about whatever people talked about.
Probably
in Mississippi.
War. Probably war.
Yeah, Charlie was a war vet, so yeah. You know, they just talk about war for hours in a bar. So, fast forward, not too far, 1973.
Okay.
Calvin's 19, he's a successful welder, but the job was demanding, it was stressful, he's welding stuff, it's hot, he don't like it, and he's engaged at this point, right? So he wants to find a job that, you know, he still gets paid well, but... doesn't suck up all of his time, doesn't suck up all of his energy. He's going to have a family soon. He's got stuff to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah, for sure.
So he was lamenting to Charlie, who's 42 years old at this time. So there's about a 23-year difference between them. But
so it's kind of like a father figure at this
point. Yeah, bros are bros. Yeah, exactly. So they're at a bar hanging out. He's like, bro, I want to quit being a welder. It's hard and stuff. And Charlie's like, dude, I got you. Come with me to Pascagoula. I work at the shipyard. I got you, fam. We'll get you hired. And literally, without missing a beat, Calvin was like, I'm down.
That's still how you get a job. Connections.
It really is. There were probably so many more qualified persons persons, people that sent their resumes to the shipyard. It's like, I literally built ship. I win every game of Battleship.
Yep.
But still, they were thrown away because Charlie was like, yeah, I know this guy, Calvin. He can weld shit.
Connections is how people get hired places. Keep that in mind, everybody. Just connections. For real.
Listen, I'm an introvert. I never talked to anybody growing up. I was shy. Do not do that. Even if you are shy, break out of your shell and talk to people. That is how you will get a job. Your resume and schooling matters, but experience and connections go way farther. That is probably the most important thing we'll ever say on this podcast.
Absolutely. Yes.
Take that to heart. So anyway, like I said, Calvin took him up on the offer. He quit his job. He moved down to Pascagoula. His fiance stayed back with her family. She didn't want to move in with him until they got married. You know, old school. Got to respect that. So that is setting the stage to this alien encounter. Let us get to the abduction. So as a sort of celebration for Calvin's new job and kind of to unwind, in the evening on October 11th, 1973, Charlie invited Calvin out fishing on the Pascagoula River.
Fishing.
Yeah, fishing. I don't notice any poles. There's no
except
bait
for by. One. Oh, oh no.
So around 4 foot.
That was an alien.
Yeah.
Counter the fifth kind.
So around 5:45 or 6, the guys left work. They got in Calvin's car and they drove down to the river. Right? Down by the river. Anyway, so with it being fall, it was already pretty dark outside, but it was reported that it was a full moon night. So they were fishing under the moonlight. It's pretty romantic.
I was going to say, that feels like a Little Mermaid right there.
I know. Steph's going to listen to this and Claire and be like, how come they never took us fishing under the moonlight?
Oh, no. Steph in was Pascagoula. Very clear about that.
That she wants that?
That she does not want
that. Oh, that's not on the bucket list?
No.
So Charlie was more invested in actually fishing, while Calvin was just more keen on spending quality time with his friend and relaxing. Because he just made a move. This is very shortly after he moved to Pascagoula by himself and started working at the ship dock. So as they're fishing, out of the corner of Calvin's eye, he notices a blue light in the distance. Now, he actually thought it was the police. And his heart sunk. He's like, oh my God, I just moved here. What a terrible way to start. He's like, did I park in an illegal parking zone? Or did I park somewhere I'm not supposed to be?
Is that Neff?
Yeah, it's Neff. He's looking for him. So where's he at? So Calvin turned around, and behind him, he saw a couple of super bright blue lights. Which is weird, but it gets weirder. The blue lights start circling the two men. And at the same time, they're also hearing the strange zipping sound. And as the blue lights keep circling and circling, they eventually end up directly in front of them, hovering over the river. It was unlike anything the two men had ever witnessed. They said it was like two heavy spotlights coming out of an oval-like metal object. So at this point, they started taking in their surroundings because this is bizarre off the wall. First, it was the sound that they noticed. It was like the sound had been removed from the world around them. Everything was completely silent, muted. And the ship was hovering just a few feet over the river water, but they noticed that the water seemed to be completely unfazed. It wasn't moving. There was no rippling effect. It was like it wasn't even there. So the men are standing terrified, unable to explain or understand what's happening. And suddenly, a wave of white, blinding light pours out of the object because the craft had finally opened.
Oh, man.
Through the blinding light, Charlie could just barely make out what looked like three shadowy figures, silhouettes, appearing. It actually hurt his eyes to look at it because it was so bright. These creatures started floating towards the two men over the water. Now, they said they had human-like qualities. They had broad shoulders and they had small heads. And their gray skin was so old and wrinkly looking that they couldn't even tell if the aliens had eyes.
Whoa.
It was just wrinkles.
Whoa.
And they seemed legless or like they had one singular leg, but they had like claw-like pincher hands. So fearing for his life, Charlie tried to run away, but he found that he was completely frozen. He also wanted to warn Calvin but he discovered that even his face muscles were paralyzed as well. He couldn't move, talk, or scream. One of the creatures went for Calvin, and the other two went for Charlie. Still, they were too scared and frozen to move. The creatures reached out and touched the men with their claw-like hands, giving them a quick sting in their arm. But this left their bodies feeling completely numb, and now they actually were truly paralyzed. The aliens lifted Calvin and Charlie and carried them toward the craft. They weren't able to discern any walls or windows inside, just a blinding white light that their eyes just couldn't seem to adjust to. Charlie would later say, quote, "All of us moved like we were floating through air. When I got in there, they had me, you know, they just kind of had me there. There were no seats, no chain. They just moved me around. I couldn't resist them. I just floated. Felt no sensation, no pain. They kept me in that position a little while. Then they'd raise me back up." Unquote. So inside the craft, they're now inside. They've literally been abducted. They are now inside and they're separated. So individually in their own rooms, they were propped up on what felt like metal tables in the center of their room. After the aliens left, Calvin noticed a bluish box around 3 or 4 inches in size, and it would come around and it would start circling him, and every so often it would pause and it would let out a few clicks in a row and then it would continue circling. Then a 5-foot-tall gray creature with large brown eyes came in to see him. Meanwhile, Charlie was being examined. Charlie heard a hissing sound and a thought slipped into his mind. Now, what level of abduction or of the kind? Is this the fifth kind?
It's the fourth.
When they're in your head, it's the...
Oh, that's if you channel them. But when they're in your head, like... I guess that would be fifth, yeah.
Okay. So in Charlie's mind, he heard, "Don't be afraid." And an orb-like object came toward him from the wall. He said it looked like an eye with a revolving crystal for a pupil. And it floated around and it was looking at him and it circled. And eventually, it went back into the wall.
Man, the only way he's not going to be afraid is if he has some f***ing lube.
God, in his back pocket.
Yeah, I'm ready for this.
Eventually, the eyeball thing went back into the wall, and the two creatures that brought him in picked him back up, floating, mm-hmm. weightlessly.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and he left the table. And it was at this point that the blinding light seemed to dissipate just a tiny bit, and Charlie noticed a black spot getting closer and closer, and relief finally swept over him as he realized he was back at the river, back at somewhat safety, somewhat normalcy, and he could even see his tackle box. They were right back at their exact location. He saw Calvin there too. Calvin's arms were outstretched up towards the sky in an eerie, statuesque way with a frozen expression of horror on his face. The two aliens set Charlie down. And as soon as the two entities let go of him, he got feeling back in his legs. Stumbling forward, he made his way over to Calvin to check on him and see if he was okay. As he did, he heard the same zipping sound, and he turned around to see that he and Calvin were completely alone. At that moment, again, a thought passed through his head. Not a self-made thought. He described it like somebody was turning a radio on in his head, and he heard, "We're peaceful. We meant you no harm." So he shook Calvin, who finally came out of a trance, and he screamed violently for a few moments before collapsing to the ground. So I imagine that obviously he's in shock and there's trauma, but I'm imagining like you have this built up angst. Inside of you. And you're frozen, you're paralyzed. Like, they couldn't even really move their eyes much. So they're, like, forced to look at this blinding lights. Like, it was actually, like, hurting their eyes and drying them out. So I imagine that was the first opportunity he had to scream. So could you imagine if you were in a terrifying situation, but you were unable to actually like outburst. Like, so then when you finally get the chance, this totally makes sense that he just like violently screams.
Screams for like a solid 5 minutes.
This is totally nothing to do with what we're talking about. Have you ever heard the theory that you're actually awake during surgery?
No.
Yeah, there's a theory that when you get put under, and I apologize to anybody who might be having surgery coming up anytime soon. I was reading this theory that when you, like, you actually experience all the pain. You're conscious for all of it. You can't move. You're paralyzed. You can't, but you feel everything, but the anesthetic makes you forget it.
Oh.
So when you wake up, you have no recollection of it, but you still experienced all of it. Ooh, my light just flickered. Not that that's paranormal. That's just kind of a terrifying situation. But you know what I'm saying? It's like in the end, it doesn't matter because you don't remember, but you still experience all of it.
You know, I've had surgery.
Yeah. Maybe you experienced all of it. You just don't remember.
I don't know. You know what I'm talking about, for my wrist.
Yeah.
They put me under. Yeah. That's interesting.
It's kind of terrifying.
It is. But I remember specifically waking up, or kind of waking up at one point, and saying it kind of hurt.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, you have no idea. You should have hurt you 5 minutes ago. All right, kid. Here, get a sucker. And get the f*** out of here.
Yeah, and then they gave me more anesthetic, I think.
So you could forget, man. That's interesting. They're just trying to control you,
but
man.
Wouldn't you... I mean, I would... I don't know how true that could be, because I would thrash around, probably.
No, your body is physically paralyzed.
Oh, okay. I didn't catch that.
So you feel, but you can't move.
Oh.
Mm. But then you forget.
That's interesting.
Terrifying. Back to Charlie and Calvin. So, post-abduction, they're there, they're on the river, obviously not interested in fishing anymore. I don't think they caught anything anyway.
No.
Charlie tells Calvin, listen, paraphrasing here, nobody's going to believe this. Nobody is going to believe what we experienced. They're going to think we're crazy. We're going to become outcasts. It is best if we keep this to ourselves.
Bid you guessed it.
Yeah. Ooh. You was right. So I think that it was just the fear of being an outcast, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because what I say, like the very first episode, nothing ever good comes.
Yeah, that's true. Out of what did you actually say? Out of an alien encounter or something like that?
Yeah. Nothing ever good comes from claiming being part of an alien encounter.
So speaking of the first episode, imagine that car ride. Because they rode together. They were in Calvin's car, and they're driving back to Charlie's house. Imagine that conversation in the car. Like, did you see the Hobby Lobby sign up there? Live, laugh, love.
Charlie's just crying.
Well, it would be flipped. Charlie, I think it'd be Calvin that would be crying. Also, a story about Charlie. You like hearing your name all? It's like the Possession, that episode you did where the demon
was. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it's also kind of cool. I'm happy that they had each other. Because I think when you experience something terrifying and traumatic like that, to have a shared experience with another person had to be relieving.
Yeah, yeah.
So on the way to Charlie's house, they did stop at a bar to decompress,
yeah,
to drink a little bit, kind of discuss everything that happened. And also, remember, this is 1973. They don't have iPhones. This is before Blackberries, okay? This is a long time ago. They had no idea what time it is. They have no idea how much time passed.
What about their car radio?
I don't know if it had it, dude. This is...
A car?
In the 70s, man. Probably didn't even have a radio.
All right.
It's probably just Charlie a cappella singing. but this is before Bon Jovi, too. I don't think there was music in the 70s.
Hendrix.
This is pre-music.
Hendrix, for sure.
So at this point, at the bar, Charlie is starting to come around to the idea of possibly spilling the beans. Charlie decides, you know what, maybe we shouldn't keep this experience to ourselves. Maybe we should tell at least the authorities, right? At least tell the authorities that something went down. So Calvin was kind of like, I don't know. I'd rather not talk about it. But you know what? Maybe telling the authorities is the right idea. So naturally, the first thing they do is call the Air Force, right?
Okay.
Completely blew them off. They were like, yeah, we don't really deal with these kind of experiences anymore. Why don't you call the local authorities? And before they even had a chance to rebuttal, they hung up on them.
Dang.
So Air Force did not care. Does not care. So they take their advice and they call their local police station, and the officer that answered was amused. And so they said, okay, we'll send a couple deputies over to pick you up and bring you back to the station. So they get to the police station, and Sheriff Diamond separates them during their initial questioning to try and get as many details out of them as he can, and also to see if the stories line up, right? Because in his mind, they're drunk, or they're playing a prank, or they're wasting their time, or there's some game at play, right?
Yeah.
Like, clearly these guys didn't get abducted. They didn't see aliens. There was no floating eyes or blue lights. None of that was real. What are they trying to get at? Apparently, he even threatened them with jail time if they were lying.
For a false thing.
Yeah, I guess. Like, that's a little extreme, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
So eventually, Charlie and Calvin were escorted into the same room, a singular room, where Sheriff Diamond interrogated them at the same time. And after a little bit, after some questions, Sheriff Diamond had an idea. He's a thinker. He's like, I know what to do. I know what to do. As a ploy to catch the two men in a lie, he secretly planted a recording device in the room under the table. And he was like, when I leave and no one else is in the room, they're going to drop the act. And I'll find out what they're really up to, what they're really planning. And we'll all realize that this is just a big old joke, right?
He's expecting something like, good thing we're lying, Calvin. Yes, Charlie, it is a good thing.
Yes, we are indeed lying. Am I speaking loud enough? I need a pop filter. But he really thought they'd either break character and destroy their credibility, or they'd reveal their intentions. Okay, here's probably what he was actually thinking. Do you think they're buying it?
Yeah.
Do you think they're buying it? Or, well, what did you tell them in that room? What were you supposed to say again? You know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think this is actually a really smart plan, in my opinion. Like, I actually think it's a really good idea. Unfortunately, for Sheriff Diamond, it did not work. When he left and he checked the recording later, Charlie and Calvin were still talking about their shared experience. They were still freaked out, full of terror and anxiety. Nothing changed. When they were completely alone, they were still talking about the incident as if it was 100% true. Here's a quote from the guys from the recording. Charlie said, Jesus Christ, God have mercy. I thought I'd been through enough of hell on this earth, and now I've got to go through something like this. But they could have, you know, I guess, well, they could have harmed us, son. They had us. They could have done anything to us, but they didn't hurt us. Unquote. Doesn't quite sound like people who are making this up. Because, I mean, they're like, this isn't like 2019, 2020. Like, if you go to a police station now, you know there's cameras on you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, they're like the one-way mirror. Come on. They know that stuff. But in the 70s, like, this isn't high-tech time. So, I mean, their cars don't have clocks on them, for God's sakes. It's actually really advanced. He probably had, like, that, like, toy talk thing. You know what I'm talking about? It was like a little purple thing and you'd like pull it and you'd record your...
Yeah.
It's probably just that. They took his thing and planted their own. God, they're ahead of their time. Whether or not what they experienced actually happened, I think it's still safe to say that they believed that something happened, right?
Yes.
So whether or not the actual event is true, and this is the same state of mind that the Sheriff Diamond was coming from, they believe it.
Yes, 100%.
You know, whether or not it happened, whether or not they actually saw aliens or they were just, you know, tripping, whatever, they believe in their story.
That's undisputable.
Right. So before leaving, because obviously Sheriff Diamond left them off the hook because he realized, okay, y'all are crazy, but you're not that crazy. Charlie asked the sheriff to not tell the press about anything. They went to the authorities. They did their due diligence. They're not trying to get any unnecessary publicity, right? So despite their exhaustion, the men obviously had trouble sleeping when they got home. Calvin was so terrified of one, potential bacteria, or two, the fact that he was literally injected. They both have puncture wounds in their arm from the claw-like hands. He was so terrified that they injected him with something that he threw away his clothes. He poured bleach all over his body and then he showered. Thank God he showered and then, you know, good thing he went bleach in the shower and not, you know, shower and bleach.
Yeah.
Which, that probably did more harm to his body.
The bleach?
Yeah, than anything the aliens did.
I think so.
Maybe if he, what if he always took bleach baths and Charlie was like, oh, that's cool. I'm going to pick up the hobby. And they just started like, it started seeping into their skin. And I don't think that's like a hallucinogen.
No, I think it'd just be poison.
Yeah, but maybe that made them have these hallucinations. Or they really saw aliens. So unfortunately, either the sheriff or somebody in the police station did not honor Charlie's request.
Of course.
The next day at work, Charlie got a call from a Jackson, Mississippi journalist, and that was just the beginning. Word started getting out, and everything started buzzing. There's increased fear. Everybody was trying to figure out their story, and at this point in time, both men did not want to talk about it. But there was an increased fear about radiation. What if they had radiation on them? What if they gave it to other people in town? What if they caused harm to everybody they came in contact with because of this extraterrestrial radiation?
It's not cooties.
Well, it's the 70s, dude.
That's true. That's true.
So, ironically, Charlie and Calvin were sent to the Air Force Base.
Oh, no.
For testing, which is Keesler Air Force Base in Mississippi. Okay. MISSISSIPPI. Same Air Force Base that they called. It's funny, right?
Hysterical, actually.
So they were greeted by men in hazmat suits, and they started getting radiation treatment. Thankfully, they were completely clear and clean of any radiation. They were interrogated again at the Air Force Base, and they signed some papers, and they were on their way. It was kind of a weird situation, though. It was like a long walk in the Air Force to like these military members where they were interrogated again.
Yeah.
And they signed papers, which they were told were like copy notes. It was just like, oh, meeting notes, or, you know, like meeting minutes, things. Like, you'll get a copy of everything we covered in the mail, which obviously,
they didn't.
So when they got back, Sheriff Diamond told them, guys, I know you've been through a lot. The questioning, the interrogation likely is not done because astronomer and UFO expert from Northwestern University, Dr. J. Allen Hynek, is on his way to talk to y'all.
The boss.
This dude's been studying at this point, like in the 70s. Like, yeah. Not now. In the 70s, he'd been a UFO expert for 25 years.
Oh, J. Allen Hynek. Oh, my gosh.
Project Blue Book, which we haven't touched on, but,
you know. Oh, I have such a crush on this
frog-bodied
man. Oh, man, I love him.
The Loveland Frogman. So they're hanging out with Dr. Hynek, and there's another couple doctors there, and their suggestion is to put them under hypnosis, which is known as time regression therapy. Now, the men freaked out. Charlie and Calvin are like, whoa, 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 no, we already have this traumatic experience. We're not trying to have you mess with our mind, do some lobotomy shit to us. Like, no, we're not doing that. But then, you know, Dr. Hynek was like, calm down. We're not messing with your mind. We're not planting anything in it. The whole idea of this hypnosis is to comfortably and safely bring you back to the exact moment so that we can get more details and get a better understanding of what happened. Makes total sense, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
So the first person to go was Charlie. So Charlie was brought back through hypnosis to the alien abduction, but it didn't last long. He started panicking and crying hysterically. And Dr. Hynek felt bad, and he shut that shit down. He's like, okay. He's already been through a lot. Let's move on. So now it was Calvin's turn. Calvin's experience was even more severe. He entered a shock, and he started trembling and crying and violently shouting for help. So, unfortunately, Dr. Hynek wasn't able to receive any extra details about the event. Instead, it just gave the men more trauma.
Yeah.
So, my bad. But he did say, he concluded that the men were telling the truth. They had an extraterrestrial experience, and they're definitely dealing with trauma. And he also added in that people should not ridicule these men, as if he gets the final say.
Yeah, right.
On that. But he did believe him. So,
that's good.
I mean, that's something, right? I mean, this guy is high in the ufology world.
Oh, yeah.
He probably wrote multiple books to become a ufologist.
He did.
Yeah, many books. Two hands at the same time. Ambidextrous. But he did conclude that they were telling the truth. So that's something. So here's where they kind of diverge paths. Calvin remained low. He's like, I want to move on. I want to marry my wife. Well, a fiance at the time. You don't marry your wife. She's not your wife yet. He wanted to move on. He wanted to have a family. He wanted to forget this ever existed. He did have one more panic attack that he contributed to the abduction. But other than that, he's been pretty clean. He was around in 2017. I don't know if he's still around today. He lived a pretty chill life. He didn't get too much in the news.
Gotcha.
On the other hand, until recently for Calvin, but you can do some research. He's done some interviews in like 2017, 2018. Charlie, on the other hand, was like, I'm going to milk this up. He went on talk shows. He went on radio station. He spoke to reporters. He was like, let's talk about it. To the point where Calvin actually got pretty pissed. Like, Charlie called him a few months later and was like, dude, I got us booked on the Michael Douglas show. No idea what that is. That makes me think of that actor. That's not the actor, right?
I have no idea.
There's an actor named Michael Douglas.
I couldn't place it.
I don't know. Anyways, he called me and said, we got an interview. Let's do it. Calvin actually got pissed and was like, I don't think it was the sheriff. I think Charlie might have been the one that told the press. Kind of like this. Charlie was like milking it. I mean, he's older. He's trying to get his name out there. So that's kind of their divergent paths at the end. Now, you might think, wow, that's a crazy story. I wonder what they're going to talk about in the discussion. Well, we're not there yet. The story's not over.
Oh my gosh.
Charlie's story continues.
Okay.
So eventually, the publicity got too much for even Charlie to handle. Even Charlie was like, God, this is too much. I need to unwind. I need to do something. I need to go on a solo hunting trip. Apparently, he even told his wife, I'll bring you back some squirrels so you can make a squirrel stew. She said,
thanks.
She's like, I'll get Arby's. Like, we're good. Don't worry about it. But he really did plan on taking a solo hunting trip. But it didn't stay solo.
What the f*** does that mean?
He ran into a couple old friends. So on his solo hike, he was walking around with his gun in his hand, and he looked up, and in the trees, he saw the exact same craft.
What?
And as his eyes caught the silver craft, the same voice, the same message, like the radio, went in his head, and it said, You're safe. We meant you no harm, and that you were special. You were chosen. And it flew away.
Oh my God.
So I don't think any squirrels were got.
Oh my God.
Maybe that wasn't that. No news articles I read mentioned anything about the squirrels. It's kind of a shame. A month later, let's move on. A month later.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Charlie was awakened by the sound of a dog barking late at night outside his apartment. And he went outside to see what was happening. And of course, there was a dog right outside by these woods. By his apartment, and he sees this dog. He's not looking at him, but he sees this dog and it's barking, and he goes outside. He goes to approach the dog, but without even acknowledging Charlie's presence, this dog ran off as if something else spooked it. And of course, you know what happens. You know what happens. A moment later, in his head, same voice. Maybe it's auditory hallucinations. Maybe it's not. In his voice, like a radio switch, it came. And this time, it asked him, tell the world that we mean no harm. The world needs help. Your earth needs help. And we will intervene before it's too late. But we can't do it now. You don't understand yet. Y'all too dumb. That's me paraphrasing. But I think that's what they meant.
Oh, man. He should have, like, asked him in for, like a beer or something.
Right, right. So there's no evidence of the creatures. He didn't even see the spaceship that night. That was literally just voice in his head. Dog, voice in his head. Now, I'll leave you with this final moment because honestly, the voices in his head is a little, could be nuts, right? Like he could be nuts.
Yeah, for sure.
He could be having episodes like stress or traumatic. I don't know if it would necessarily be PTSD. Now that's not to say like, okay, let's say he was abducted. He heard the voice, right? Like in real life.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean he's not making it up these times.
Right.
Now he might not be, obviously, if you believe all this to be true, but maybe it's like, If he's a little off his rocker now and he had that experience, I mean, if you hear a voice once and it leaves that lasting impression, it could be his own mind playing a trick on him, right? This next one is going to be a little bit more credible because there's going to be a shit ton more witnesses. You ready?
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
A few months later, around Mother's Day, still 1974, Charlie was driving with his family in a packed car. It had him, it had his wife, it had his children, it had his daughter's husband, and their baby. Baby might not be credible.
I was going to say.
Baby might not be credible. Everybody else, I trust him. So as they're driving along Highway 67, they notice a star in the sky that seems just a little too bright. It's above the tree line, and now it's not just too bright, it's moving. It's circling, and it gets closer, and it gets closer, and Charlie finally notices this one is different. Whatever this is was significantly larger than what he saw in Pascagoula and on his hunting trip. Charlie told his daughter's husband, who was driving, to pull over, because he was excited. He's been hearing these messages. Like, you were joking about wanting to get a drink with them. He wanted to talk to them. Yeah. He's like, pull over. This is our opportunity. Just then, the object quickly descended to ground level, and it shot in front of him over the highway. So now, the car is stopped, and the craft was silently hovering nearby. Charlie was amazed. This was his opportunity. He was going to get to talk to them. He was going to get answers. He was going to find out what was happening. What did he need to tell the world? What did they need to intervene? This was his moment. Because remember, he's been having, it's been peaceful. He's been getting reassurance.
Since, yeah.
Since the initial abduction, it's been all about peace. We're not harming you. It's
You're
all
special.
Good. How's Calvin doing? We sent him a card. We haven't heard back. Did he move his address? How's his family? You know, all that stuff. So everybody in the car is pretty much like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. What is happening? What is happening? Except for Charlie, who's like, let's go do this. Let's go have a conversation. And except for his wife. His wife is like hands over her face, freaking out, ready to cry. So Charlie opens the door to go out and talk to them. And she grabs him and she's like, no, you're not leaving. You got to stay in here. This is dangerous. And he's pleading his case. He's like, no, they're right there. I've been experiencing this for months. I need to talk to him. So they're struggling. They're back and forth. She's trying to bring him in. He's trying to leave. Then he gets a voice in his head again. And it says, there will be another time. There will be another time. It's okay. Just go. It'll be okay. So reluctantly, Charlie gets back in his car and they leave. The family is completely stunned. They don't know what to do. And it's actually ironic because they're like, we got to tell the authorities. And Charlie starts laughing. And he's like, okay. So they literally call the Air Force and they tell them the same exact thing. They're like, we don't really deal with that. So why don't you call your local authorities? And then Charlie's like, no, like, we're not doing that again. We're not getting that media circus. And they pretty much just kept it to themselves for a while. And that is the Pascagoula abduction, which, by the way, Charlie died in 2011. Rest in peace. So we don't know if there's more. In the more recent years, in like last 5 years or so, Calvin's been coming out and doing interviews. They both have written books. So you can learn, you can definitely learn more about them and their crazy experiences. Are you ready to go to the discussion?
Yes. Hey everyone, this is Charlie and I am by myself. Tyler is not with me right now. He was on vacation. Good for him. This is our mid-episode break to shout out for our new Patreon subscribers. So thank you, Karina Allen. And if you like the episode, you want to join us for some more stuff, some games, some quizzes, beyond that, please join us on Patreon. And if you're not ready for that right now, and you just want to keep listening to the free episodes, that's totally fine with us. So again, thank you so much for listening. Enjoy the rest of this episode.
So Charlie, there's a lot in there. Let me break it down one more time. We got the abduction.
Yes.
We got the cops interrogating them and pretty much proving their case.
Mm-hmm.
We got them going to the Air Force, being interviewed by Dr. Hynek, who pretty much concludes they're telling the truth.
Yes.
Couple solo trips with Charlie. Well, exit Calvin. Couple solo trips with Charlie, where mm-hmm. he hears things, which I'll just be upfront. I don't find those as credible.
Mm-hmm.
And then this experience with his entire family in the car.
I'm super interested to hear what you have to say. I am.
Well, I just talked for 40 minutes.
So I know.
I'm very interested in what I have to say.
So the story about the river and the fishing and
the main, I would call that the main one for
the
sure.
The initial abduction.
Yeah.
That is very harrowing. It's a scary story. It's mostly from Charlie's perspective, which is, it's not bad. Just is
it makes sense because obviously all the details are after the fact and he was the one most apt to talk about it.
Yeah. I want to know more about the aliens. I want to know so much more about the aliens.
It's like gray, small heads, you know, broad.
Yeah, they don't.
Apparently, they had like not appendages, but like where their ears and their nose could be, it was like lumps, but it wasn't. Yeah. They weren't like defined.
I want to know so much more about like what race do you think it is,
dude?
It
doesn't I don't sound, know enough about.
It doesn't sound like Grays to me.
It almost similar. Is like, do you think they came, do you think they were as, there's two approaches to the whole peaceful thing. One, lower your guard.
Yes.
Or two, we're being genuine. I know you're freaked out. We're just trying to figure things out.
Man, it depends on the race.
Yeah.
I think that really depends on the race of alien.
Or Charlie was just insane. Here's the main skepticism, because some people researched it and concluded that it was fake. And pretty much some people thought that, ironically, because we talked about it recently, that Charlie had an experience of sleep paralysis. He hallucinated the event, and because of Calvin's personality, his relationship with Charlie, he was, quote, highly susceptible. So, which people have been known to believe, like, if you think about cults, people have been known to believe things that are a little crazy and buy into things that won't really happen. You know, regression therapy actually came under heat in, I think, in the early 90s because it was planting things in people's minds that they didn't do. We talked about this before.
Satanic panic stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying that that's true. I'm not saying that Charlie faked it. But if that was true, that scenario, it would kind of fit the bill because, one, that way Charlie could believe it and believe it to be true, but it not be true. Because, you know, I mean, it's sleep paralysis. He didn't fake it. He believes it. He experienced it. It just wasn't really aliens. And if he could get Calvin to buy into it, then they have their narrative. And they both can be genuine and believe it, even though it didn't happen. I'm not saying I believe that. I'll be honest. I don't believe that. I'm just saying, if you find this skeptical, I think that can be your sword, so to speak. That could be your argument.
If you're looking at it from perspective where you don't think this could make any sense, except for the fact that they believe it,
mm-hmm.
That's how that would work.
I also don't know why if they didn't experience it, why, like, I think the sheriff was very smart in his tactic. Leave the room, find out what they say when you go. If it was fake and they were just trying to get publicity, unless they came to the sheriff's station smart enough and thinking ahead enough, like chess, like every waking second that we are in there, we have to buy in. But that's like, okay, how this 42-year-old man, this 19-year-old kid ran, you know, am I supposed to believe that these are good actors?
I don't think so. Not these people from
Pascagoula,
now, again, Mississippi.
If it was fake, but they believed it to be true because of, you know, something in his head, sleep paralysis or something like that, that would still make it work because they would believe it. But like I said, the auditory hallucinations he's having, if that's true, or the radio voice with the aliens, the connection he has, that I'm a little bit more skeptical on.
But don't forget, he's not the only person that's ever had that. There's many cases where people say, I've heard the aliens.
That's true. I mean, it's its own kind, the fifth kind, right?
Yeah.
So, but I mean, the fact that he was abducted with somebody else, which I'm glad for them because they had another person, but also that makes me find it more believable. And two, his whole family, at the very least, saw a UFO. They didn't see the aliens or anything like that. But it's just like, imagine being his daughter's husband. You know, I mean, like, you're not related to him. You just happen to marry his daughter. You probably heard the story over Thanksgiving or some bullshit. And then you're driving and you pull over and you see this UFO and you're like, and you're freaked out. You know, your mother-in-law is crying and your father-in-law is like, I'm going to go say hi. You want me to tell him anything? Yeah. You know, it's weird. It's a weird situation to be in, but it makes me feel like it's more believable.
I just had this thought that gave me full body chills from my neck to
the hackles
from my neck to my calves. One of my favorite cases is the Gulf Breeze sightings. Similar time, similar place by water.
Yeah, this is like the bottom of Mississippi. Like, this is like the basically like the Gulf by Mississippi. I looked it up. Not to brag.
Similar family dynamics. Very interesting. Similar aliens. And, full body chills. It's so similar.
How scared do you have to be to get your ankles in those full body chills, too? I heard it stopped at the calves.
Whew.
We gotta find you so freaked out that we get to the ankles, too. You should do that episode in the next couple weeks.
Just to
tie it in. And then we'll drop aliens again for another 5 months.
I'd want to know if the Navy or anybody had seen anything in the sky that night besides them.
Now, here's the conflicting thing. One, they called the Air Force and they got blown off. Now, maybe during that time, that crazed late 60s, early 70s, they were just like, we're not doing this. Like, this is too much. But at the same time, the Air Force took it very, very seriously enough
the to radiation,
get Dr. Heineken.
Yeah.
Radiation test, you know, they were interviewed again, papers and whatever, and all that, you know, creepy undercover stuff. I don't know. It's like, it seems like they bought in, but maybe they just have precautions where it's like initial phone calls just don't get taken seriously.
It could be. That's interesting. So here's what I think. I feel like the initial thing happened.
The abduction.
Yes. And I feel like the second thing happened in the hunting when he's hunting.
The solo craft. Yes. Yeah.
The third thing.
With the dog.
Yes. That's another tie-in with the Gulf Breeze. There's a thing about dogs in the Gulf Breeze, too.
Because I was thinking back to that story when I was researching this one, actually.
Oh, my God. Just chills again. Just angles? The waves. It's not there yet.
Okay. We'll work on it.
Oh, man. I don't know, though. That one, I'm a little skeptical on.
I agree. I'm skeptical of that one and the hunting.
I know. I got you. But the last one.
We know. We heard you.
The last one, also, I feel really strongly happened. Full believable.
Yeah.
Fully believable.
I'm right there with you because of the bread of this sandwich. The beginning and the end.
Yeah.
And you know, me too. I do love my carbs. But also like, yeah, the main experience with the abduction, I would probably, okay, if this story was only that, I probably would go viable.
I agree.
If it was only that, I would probably go viable. If it was only the middle two, I would go unbelievable or skeptical. But if it was only the abduction, I would go viable. Definitely lean towards believable. The fact the sheriff situation and the ufologist that interviewed him, like, pushed me up there. But the fact that it ended with him and his family, who have nothing to gain.
There's no benefit.
Nothing to gain, nothing to benefit, unless they were just trying to help his reputation. So he got his family together. It's like, if you ever want squirrel stew again, you're going to tell people we saw a UFO. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But between those two things together and all the other little details, I think out of many of the abduction stories that I've read, researched, heard, I think this one is definitely up there in believability, and I give it a believable as well.
Also the fact that Calvin's talking again. I don't even need to put that in
there. He just wants that money. So thank you so much for listening to our episode on the Pascagoula abduction. Is that a fun word to say? Kind of.
What a great story.
Did I butcher it a couple times in this episode? Hopefully Charlie will edit those out. Yes. But, you know, you kind of leave Pascagoula after a while. You get that initial abduction, then it's just solo trips looking for squirrels and dogs.
Man, oh, man.
Crazy, though. Crazy. I feel like the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s were like, aliens, aliens, aliens. Mm-hmm, and then it's like, where did they go? Where did the aliens go, Charlie?
Well, I mean.
We got Baker. but seriously, I feel like during those couple of decades, it's all these intense, not like I saw a UFO, but like intense, that Kelly Hopkinsville, all these intense alien stories. And I feel like nowadays, like, what's the most contemporary UFO abduction story? You don't have to actually name it.
I was just thinking.
But you know what I mean? It's like, I feel like those were like three hot decades. And maybe it was just like, there was like a wave of aliens flying by and that just happened to be at the time period for it.
Well, maybe they've caught on. They realized that we're getting better technology.
Yeah, they probably gave us the technology. Well, one ship crashes in Roswell. Now we have iPhone 11.
What is Wi-Fi, goddammit?
Yeah, I know. They're like, damn it. It is, dude, the amount of technology. I mean, we were in the 70s, no clocks, and now iPhone 11. I think we got hooked up by those aliens. Well, you believe, well, I don't want to say you believe, but you talked about that conspiracy where, like, was it Reagan or somebody made the...
I know I was wrong last time I talked about it.
Yeah, we're not going to mention that.
Yeah.
Some president.
I have to look into it, but I know what you're talking about.
But that idea is crazy, like the amount of technology that we've had. They probably have like iPhone 50 already. They just like going to wait and kind of spread it out. But anyways, crazy, crazy story. Believable. I wish there were more recent ones. Maybe they're just takes time for stories to come out. I don't know.
But if you did like that story and you want to tell us about it, please leave a review and a 5-star rating, because that would be just super nice for us.
And if you like this content and the episode's over and you already listened to all the other ones, you're like, gosh, dang it, I want to hear more. Well, there is more. If you head over to our Patreon, go to patreon.com, search Believing Bizarre. We have a multiple tiers. We got extra content like quizzes, interviews, bonus episodes, fun games, all that good stuff.
It's a lot of fun stuff.
It is. It's a lot of extra content, and we're really excited to put it out. So if you are interested in more, head over there to Patreon and check that out. We appreciate it. But as always, thank you so much for listening. I'm Tyler.
I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
The podcast, as bizarre as you are.